Today, squeezing until the pips squeak. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, the war in Ukraine is terrible, but it does give central banks and governments a wonderful alibi as to why their budgets and their overall policies aren't working as expected. Australians must be willing to pay a higher cost of living in order to stand up to bullies, defend our values, live free of coercion and fear, according to Treasurer Josh Frydenberg. As the invasion of Ukraine draws on, the West's swift punishment of Russia by enforcing sanctions has left President Vladimir Putin staring down a bleak economic future. While Frydenberg and Prime Minister Scott Morrison have pointed out how little trade Australia does do with Russia, sanctions against Russian individuals, banks and key industries, as well as longer-term measures like supply chain safeguarding, will cost Australians. The message to Russia and other aggressive autocracies is clear. There will be swift and significant economic costs imposed on those countries that choose to violate our fundamental international rules and norms, Mr. Frydenberg told a gala dinner on Wednesday. But we must not be naive about the costs these necessary actions will impose on the West. These costs will flow initially in the form of higher commodity prices and in turn higher inflation. Frydenberg said Australians would continue to feel the pinch at the Bowser, noting global oil prices had risen by more than a third since the invasion began. Average fuel prices are around $2 a litre across the country. And the Treasury said European gas prices had nearly tripled and thermal coal prices almost doubled. As Putin seeks to weaponise Europe's energy dependency on Russia, it will undoubtedly test the West's pain threshold, Mr. Frydenberg said. And while Australia is better placed than most to withstand these pressures, there will be costs borne by Australians in defending our values. For liberal and free nations, this is the price we must be willing to pay for the right to live free of fear and coercion. And Mr. Frydenberg said governments and businesses must price in this new risk as they seek to strengthen and realign critical supply chains. No country or business can allow itself to be held to ransom or leave their supply chains to chance, he said. Governments and businesses must seek out reliable and trusted partners to build more diversified and robust supply chains. This is a rational economic response to the risks we are now facing. And Mr. Frydenberg added that Australia would invest in enhancing Australia's defence capability ahead of the Prime Minister's announcement on Thursday that the government would invest $38 billion to increase the Australian Defence Force by at least 18,000 personnel. And in terms of another fallout, Australian mortgage holders could be facing a major interest rate rise earlier than expected because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. At the AFR Business Summit on Wednesday, the Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Philip Lowe warned that supply chain issues sparked by the Eastern European war could trigger a wave of inflation. This in turn could force him into bringing up the interest rate earlier than he intended. The war in Ukraine and the sanctions against Russia have created a new supply shock that is pushing prices up, especially for commodities, Dr. Lowe said at the business conference. This new supply shock will extend the period of inflation being above central banks' targets. In particular, Dr. Lowe is concerned that Australians' attitudes will shift, making it inevitable to fight against inflation by increasing the interest rate. The official cash rate has been at a record low of 0.1% since November 2020 in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, but it is expected to jump by 1% by the end of this year and hit 1.25% next year. Although 1% sounds like a tiny rise, it could add hundreds or even thousands of dollars extra every month to the average Australian mortgage. Dr. Lowe believes that a shifting mindset among Australians is critical to the RBA's decision, as it could be damaging to the economy and would potentially force his hand. People could start believing that the price rises were here to stay, making it difficult for central banks to keep inflation under control. This runs the risk that the low inflation psychology that has characterized many advanced economies over the past two decades starts to shift 50 said, if so, the higher inflation will be more persistent and broad-based and require a larger monetary response. Last month, the CBA warned that the interest rates could rise by as early as June this year, and that was before Russia began its invasion of Ukraine. At the time, the RBA assured Australians that it would be at least another 6 months before they lifted rates, saying they would need to see two more quarterly inflation reports. However, on Wednesday, Dr. Lowe made no such promise. We don't have a plan that's locked in, he told conference attendees. That said, he also added that it was possible that the higher prices could blow over and everything could go back to relative normality. We can afford to look through a period of temporary high inflation because of higher oil prices and commodity price shocks if we think that they will eventually wash through, he said. So far this year, oil and thermal coal prices have risen by a whopping 40%, while wheat has risen by the same amount in the space of just a month. Europe is in for a rocky ride in the coming weeks as a result of this. For the countries in Europe, this rise in commodity prices represents a negative shock to their terms of trade and thus to their national income, Dr. Lowe said. This alone will cause a slowdown in economic activity. However, Australia could find itself in a unique position because we export some of those commodities, meaning there could be a chance of benefiting from the increased prices. And over at the Reserve Bank, the Reserve Bank Deputy Governor, Guy DeBell, said Australia could be a major clean energy exporter as he announced that he was exiting the central bank to join mining billionaire Andrew Forrest's green energy arm. Fortescue Future Industries, the FFI, on Thursday announced Dr. DeBell's appointment as chief financial officer and head of the company's Sydney office from June. His final day at the RBA after 25 years will be Wednesday next week. Prior to his exit, Dr. DeBell was considered to be in the box seat to become the next governor of the RBA as early as September 2023, after he was reappointed deputy last year. His departure sparked speculation about who would step into the role as Australia's second most powerful central banker, with Labour calling for a woman to be considered. The three leading internal candidates are Assistant Governor Christopher Kent, Michelle Bullock, and Lucy Ellis, though Treasurer Josh Frydenberg could also nominate someone external to the bank. Dr. DeBell told the Australian Financial Review he believed that FFI was going to make a huge difference to the country and the economy. Australia has a great opportunity to be a major player as a clean energy exporter, and decarbonisation is exactly what FFI is about, he said. It's just a fantastic opportunity that I'm really interested in. Climate change has a broad-ranging impact on Australia, both in terms of geography and in terms of Australian businesses and households. The straight-talking Dr. DeBell was a key architect of the extraordinary monetary policy responses to the pandemic and the 2008 global financial crisis. He also broke new ground for the institution in 2019 when he warned about the economic dangers of climate change. Fortescue Chairman Andrew Forrest said the appointment was an important step in delivering on its global green energy vision. Bringing someone of Dr. DeBell's economic credibility goes to the heart of our vision for FFI, Dr. Forrest said. Not only are we committed to arresting climate change, we are also committed to creating economic growth, increasing jobs and growing our business profitably. Dr. DeBell, with the leadership team, will drive the most optimal financial solutions for FFI's vast technology and energy portfolio. This will be instrumental in Fortescue's journey to become the best green hydrogen energy and resource company in the world. Mr. Forrest has poached several star recruits to his various businesses and philanthropic arms in recent times. Former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is the chairman of FFI, and former intelligence officer Nick Warner was recruited as a specialist advisor. Former South Australian Premier Jay Weatherill is chief executive of the Thrive by Five Education Initiative, which falls under the Forrest family charitable arm, the Mindaroo Foundation. And former NAB executive Andrew Hager runs Mindaroo and the family's investment arm, Tatarang. RBA Governor Philip Lowe and Treasurer Josh Frydenberg thanked Dr. DeBell for his 25 years of service and praised his work. He's made major contributions to monetary policy, to financial market operations and to the management of the bank, Dr. Lowe said. Guy has been a great colleague and I wish him all the best in his new position. Mr. Frydenberg said he would announce a new deputy governor in due course and thanked Dr. DeBell for his outstanding contribution over the past decade, including 6 years in the deputy's role. Labour Treasury spokesman Jim Chalmers said the shift was an opportunity for renewal and to promote another woman into the bank's senior ranks. Federal Labour expects to be properly consulted on this appointment, Dr. Chalmers said, noting a federal election expected in May. We have the utmost respect for the Reserve Bank, the Governor and his team, and we seek to play a constructive role in the personnel decisions taken following Dr. DeBell's departure. This is sad and surprising. Guy was arguably the cleverest person at the RBA. He had a strong respect for the evidence and thought it important to engage with differing views. He'll be missed, Peter Tulip said. Labour MP and former economics professor Andrew Lee said he was one of the best macro minds of his generation. His departure will be a big loss to the Reserve Bank, he said. The Perth-based FFI was founded in 2018 with the goal of producing 15 million tonnes of green hydrogen per year by 2030 for global market distribution. The company is also developing the world's first zero emissions train, truck and ship engines, according to its website. And Fortescue has vowed to siphon 10% of annual earnings from its traditional iron ore business into FFI. However, those sums accumulate over time if not spent within that year. FFI had an accumulated unspent war chest worth $651 million at December 31 after spending $242 million over the previous 6 months. We will prove that going green has a profitable future for companies the world over. We will demonstrate this so that other heavy emitters like us will follow our efforts and go green too, Dr. Forrest said. But remember what I said at the beginning? The war in Ukraine provides an amazing alibi to central banks, who, of course, have taken interest rates way too low and just done too much stimulation into the system through quantitative easing, and they were under pressure to reverse it, but they may, of course, find it easier to play dumb for a little bit longer. And on the other hand, it's also worth thinking about the fact that interest rates are quite low at the moment, and of course they were talking about raising them, but again, we may well see interest rates going nowhere near as high as the markets have been predicting. And from a government policy perspective, of course, the government can always claim that the higher cost of living and the low wages growth are a direct result of higher inflation and external factors like the war and supply chain disruptions, which means they've got an alibi to put in front of the electorate in the coming poll, which will be less than 3 months away now. But my point is this. Whilst everybody quietly knows that people have screwed up, central banks are screwed up, governments are screwed up, treasury is screwed up, and we've ended up with this really weird economy where property and bank lending is at the heart of everything we do, while most people are actually experiencing a reduction in real living standards and income has been flat for, a decade or more now. So there is a question of accountability, and at the moment it looks to me as though central bank, the treasury, and the government will be able to point at somebody else and say, the Ukrainians did it, or the Russians did it. It's nothing to do with us. And that, in my view, is the alibi the size of a planet. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.